The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, October. Oh my goodness, it's October. Thank God it's October, not September. It's October 17th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. Thursdays are busy around here. You know that. It is a guest-heavy show this afternoon, and we are confirmed all three guests will be joining us on the phone lines today. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us at 2:30, as the entire crew will be out in Como as the Tigers take on Missouri on Saturday, 11 a.m. kick. The boys will be on the air at 8 a.m. from the Auburn Sports Network. So Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us at 2:30. Then we'll be joined on the phone lines by Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He will talk about the big win a week ago for Auburn High, 70-6 over Smith Station, and how the Tigers head down to Montgomery tomorrow to take on Carver Montgomery. And Auburn High, if they win, they're region champs, and they'll be the number one seed out of Region 2. So he joins us at 3 o'clock. And then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will be joining us as well. He'll join us at 3:30, and looking forward to talking to him about all things SEC. Recap quickly from last week and get into some big-time games coming up this week in college football around the Southeastern Conference, and also get some of his thoughts on SEC basketball, too, since Media Day was this week, and have a lot to get to on that. We're going to have some audio for you here in a little bit from Bruce Pearl. Bill Cameron sat down with him earlier this week. We'll have that for you on the show today as well. Until all of that, though, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. What's on your mind today? How you feeling on this gorgeous Thursday? It was chilly out there this morning, but I told you, I love it. I absolutely love this time of year, but I want to talk to you. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number to get you through to me. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. It's time to start taking picks and predictions, ladies and gentlemen. Picks and predictions for Saturday's slate of college football. It can be Auburn and Missouri. It can be Alabama, Tennessee. It can be Georgia, Texas, Indiana, Nebraska. It can be whatever game you want it to be. You can call in and make some of your picks. What's a hot take that you have for college football this weekend? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And I know we did this a little bit yesterday, but man, just so many good games are on the schedule for this weekend. And the Auburn-Missouri game continues to build up hype. It continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I do feel like a lot of eyes are going to be on this game on Saturday. It follows right out of College Game Day on ESPN. So normally, in that situation, there are people who will watch game day, and then there is normally a huge matchup right at 11 a.m., especially now with the new TV deals and things, where they put one of the best games of the day at 11 a.m., and everybody immediately is flipping around trying to find that game. But while there are good ones at 11 a.m., there's no top five matchup at 11 a.m. So I do have a feeling that whether people are watching one game, three games, or 10 games, Auburn will be in that mix. Or you can have it on the radio, of course, on Wings 94.3. But I do feel that the Auburn-Missouri game could end up being one of the better games of the weekend. And I said this yesterday, where a lot of people overlooked this game, right? Because Missouri has not been in the best of graces here in recent weeks after getting blasted by A&M and then going to UMass last week, and everybody kind of questioned why, but nobody really cared why. And then Auburn is 2-4, and Auburn's coming out of a bye week, and nobody's talked about them, nobody's thought about them, and nobody's cared about them. But I have a feeling that come Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Monday afternoon when we step into this studio, we may be talking about Auburn, Missouri as one of the best games from the weekend. Because I think both teams have so much to play for. Right? Think about Missouri for a second here. Missouri started the year 2-0, two shutout wins, Murray State and Buffalo. All right, whatever. Top 10 team, lot of offensive firepower, Eli Drinkwitz, yada, yada, yada. They then, in week three, in case you forgot, they beat Boston College, who beat Florida State in the season opener, who was a top 10 team at the time. We've seen how that has panned out. But that win for Missouri, beating Boston College the way that they did, we thought was a big deal. They had to come back and win this game, and Brady Cook looked good doing it. Didn't have an overly impressive day, but did enough to lead them to a win, which was a top 25 win at the time. We're thinking, man, Missouri is legit. Missouri is what we thought they were. Then, the very next week, at home in Columbia, Missouri, they let Vanderbilt take them to double overtime. And all of a sudden, we said, whoa, Missouri, what in the world are we doing? You almost lost, maybe should have lost to Vanderbilt. How embarrassing that would have been. Until the very next week, when Vanderbilt turns around and decides, you know what? We're going to use our bye week, and we're going to go and beat the number one team in the country. So that win for Missouri, believe it or not, looks a little bit better. Then they used a bye week to prepare for what was a top 25 matchup with Texas A&M and just got embarrassed. Got dominated on both sides of the football, got embarrassed on national television, and let Texas A&M do whatever they wanted to and a 41-10 beatdown in Aggieland. And then everybody wrote them off. Everybody forgot about them. Everybody's done talking about Missouri, even though they went on the road and played UMass last week. I say all of that to say this. Missouri still has everything to play for. Missouri has everything to play for here. They're 5-1 on the season. Their only loss was to a top 25 Texas A&M team who currently sits at the top of the SEC standings. And you look at the rest of their schedule, Auburn this week, at Alabama, Oklahoma, at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and a home against Arkansas. Missouri wins this game on Saturday. They're feeling good about themselves. And they go to Tuscaloosa to take on what is a very beatable Alabama team. And then the back half of their schedule is very, very winnable. That's what Missouri has. And so if Drinkwitz is smart here, which he is, he will have his team ready to go because they have everything in front of them to play for. And Auburn's in a completely different boat, but not as different as you may think. And I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. 334-321-1390. We get to the phone lines for the first time today. And John, you're on the line, my man. How are you?
Hey, good, good, Jacob. Hey, real quick point on Missouri. I just feel like this is a game that might be a little sleepy for them. 11 a.m. in Como, coming off a weird travel week because they were in Western Massachusetts this past Saturday. I just think it's weird travel. And I feel like this may be a look ahead to Alabama because you're playing a 2-4 team. And quite frankly, even though it's in Tuscaloosa, I'm not going to say a result, but I expect Missouri, with their offensive philosophy and the great weapons they have at receiver, I expect them to play better against Alabama than they do Auburn.
Well, I'd say this, with Alabama's secondary as bad as it is right now, Missouri should be licking their chops with the weapons they have on the outside and the quarterback Brady Cook throwing the football. They should be licking their chops when they play Alabama. And so the question becomes, John, yeah, what does Missouri look like 11 a.m. Saturday morning? You know this. You've been listening to me for a long time. I believe the road teams in conference play have the advantage on these 11 a.m. kicks. I just do. It's a business trip. You are there to get ready, play a game, and go home. Whereas the home team, they linger around. Sure, they'll stay in a hotel a few miles down the road, and then they get ready and they go in. But I don't know. It just has a different vibe when you are the road team and early kick, because you're in there to get in and get out and try to win this thing. And I've got people texting me saying Auburn's going to come out at 1,000 miles per hour, going to be a huge game. There's too much talent for Auburn not to show up on Saturday. What do you think about that, John?
I agree, and given my theory, Auburn's a road team, so I think Peyton Thorne limited turnovers again.
Ah, jersey colors, yes. Can't have any confusion, yeah. Right?
Exactly. Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. And that's the point I'm getting to now with Auburn, is Missouri has everything to play for, and it will be difficult for them to get up for this game given what they have coming up next and given what they have in front of them and the weird travel. I agree with John on that. But think about it for Auburn for a second. Auburn, in terms of a postseason, a type of bowl game or whatever you want to call it, they don't have anything to play for. They don't have any aspirations to make it and play extra games at the end of the year. That's not their goal right now. Their goal has to be, hey, let's try to win a game. One singular SEC game. That is our goal right now. And if Auburn's able to do that, they then have an opportunity to build a little momentum and take advantage of a manageable back half of their schedule. Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, La Monroe, Texas A&M, and at Alabama. That's not a terrible schedule. Have some of those teams gotten a little bit more difficult? Sure. But I think some of those teams aren't as difficult as we may have thought they were at one time. Missouri is a prime example. And so, to some of our texters' point, you hope that they come out with their hair on fire. You hope that Auburn wants to come out and play for something bigger than themselves and come out and try to get their first conference win of the 2024 season. Sad to say that here on October 17th, but it is what it is. So that's the big question going into Saturday. Which team shows up? Which team wants it more? Is it the team that's playing for an SEC title and possible college football playoff applications? Or is it the team that has nothing to play for other than the logo on their helmet and the fans that have not given up on them yet? We're going to find out when boot hits leather 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning in Columbia, Missouri. And if Auburn doesn't show up, they'll get blasted. And the fans will give up. And they'll move on to basketball season, which, officially, kicks off tonight in downtown Auburn with tip-off at Toomer's. I got people telling me it's bumping down there already. They've had it shut down since midnight last night. It's going to be a fun one down there. We'll talk about that coming up next. Plus, Bruce Pearl, Auburn's men's basketball coach, joined ESPN earlier this week. We'll have that for you coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Well, with tonight being a pretty big night in downtown Auburn for tip-off at Toomer's, I figured we'd let you listen to Bruce Pearl, the Auburn men's head basketball coach. Sat down with Bill Cameron earlier this week, previewing the season, what tip-off at Toomer's means, and what the 2024-2025 Auburn basketball season could look like.
Very pleased to be joined here on ESPN 106.7 by Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl. Bruce, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
Doing fine, man. It is exciting. Folks are very excited about the upcoming basketball season. You've got a half dozen players with a tremendous amount of experience coming back to take on what is obviously the most challenging schedule in Auburn basketball history.
We are excited about it, Bill. You know, I've got a good veteran group. We're going to have a brand new backcourt, which will present some real challenges, but be very exciting. The front court returns with Janai Broome, Dylan Cardwell, Chaney Johnson, you know, sort of anchoring that. And as you mentioned, probably without question, the most challenging schedule in Auburn basketball history and probably the most challenging non-conference schedule in all of college basketball.
Oh, no doubt about it. You talked about that with us a couple of weeks ago. Just wanted to know how things have been going since then. With you mentioned the backcourt, really interesting. J.P. Pegues, who has a lot of experience at Furman coming in. Denver Jones just got a few minutes at point last year, and then Tahad Pettiford. How are things looking there?
Well, that's exactly right. You got it nailed. You know, J.P. has come in and done a really good job. You know, the step up from the SoCon to the SEC, the athleticism, the speed and quickness. But he's done a really good job making that adjustment. You know, JP is a scoring, shooting point guard that is a solid defender. And, you know, he's got the makeup of a point guard. Denver Jones has been a scoring guard most of his career. And he really has done a nice job picking up the idea of not only being a scoring guard, but actually having the ball in his hands to play make and lead the team. That's an enormous combination and a lot of responsibility of having to play both of those positions. I think Denver's handling it real well. And then Tahad Pettiford was a guy that, even though his size says he's a point guard, his game says he's a two guard, a scoring guard. And it's a lot to put on a freshman having to play both positions. But Tahad's got a great feel for it, and I think that's that gives us a great deal of depth at the position. But like, all 40 minutes of our point guard play will be somebody that didn't play there last year.
Really interesting to see a team like yours last year that played double-figure players, double-figure minutes a game. It looks like you're in a position to do that with the depth and the versatility that you have. You're 2 and 3 deep, it appears, at just about every position.
Well, that's been our style and our system for a long, long time. It just got a lot of notoriety last year because we were 10 deep, double-digit. We're almost always 10 deep. Not at least 9 have been double digit all over career. Just got more attention last year. So this is the way I like to play. It helps us win games, I think, at the end of games. I think it helps us win games at the end of seasons. I think it also keeps for a happier locker room. Yes, everybody would like a little bit more, but there are very few guys in our locker room that are not contributing.
You mentioned JP a little while ago. The other veteran that you bring in is Miles Kelly. With Miles and CBM, you've got some explosive potential there at the wing.
Yeah, and great length at the wings. Really, really, you know, good to be able to, you know, bodies on bodies and really athletic. I think we're going to be hard to score up again, particularly at the rim. You've got to be able to, you know, challenge shooters with that length, and I think it's going to help us contest shots. I hope it does translate to rebounding because, finishing possessions both on the offensive and the defensive end are particularly important. And you know what? Last year, the close games we lost, it really came down to free throw shooting. And if we can improve in that area, almost that area alone, I think we can continue to think that this team will compete for championships.
As we look toward the front court at the 4 and the 5, again, the versatility there. Janai still getting some work at the 4?
He is. And, of course, if he's getting some work at the 4, that means he's out there playing with Dylan Cardwell at the 5. And there are going to be, I'm working at playing that rotation every game. But it's going to be put to a test. And so the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to get to a point where we're too big and too slow to be able to play as fast as we like to play. If both those guys would pick up their pace and play as fast as they're both capable of playing.
Something that is, I think, very unusual these days, especially at a major conference, is the number of seniors that you have. I mean, you have so many players, and most of them have experience here at Auburn. But just talk about having that type of experience on a squad.
Well, you know what? I think it speaks to a couple of things. First of all, the transfer portal does allow you to bring in some seniors or guys that are upperclassmen. And we've all realized that in college basketball, the transfer portal and bringing the right guys have been a great, great mix. I think the second thing is we got a number of guys that are graduating. We've had 40 kids graduate in the last 10 years, and nobody in college basketball, particularly at the Power Five level, has even come close to that. Our guys love Auburn, and they love the way they're treated, the way they're supported. And as a result, they really aren't trying to leave. They're trying to stay. They're not in the transfer portal chasing an extra dollar. I think that's why this team has the number of veterans that we have.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago to us that you weren't, even though you had a lot of experience, you might know a little less about this team. You feel a little bit better about the combos and everything as you get ready for the start of the season?
Well, I still think there's a lot to be learned, yet. And I think the way you learn that is you really learn that, by playing somebody else. You just don't know where you are until you get out there and you play somebody else. And so that's got to be, obviously, got to be an important factor for this team.
Well, you don't play somebody else, but tip-off at Toomer's coming up on Thursday, an opportunity for folks to be there, for you to be playing in front of a large group. And, it's great to see the SEC Network's going to carry it as well.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about tip-off at Toomer's, and Cole Swindell is going to be there to have a concert downtown. This is going to be a really friendly event for the entire community or for the surrounding areas. What an opportunity. And so just want to encourage our fans from all over to get there and come to a really, really cool event. And then another reminder that on November 1st, our home opener, we're playing Florida Atlantic, a team that was in the Final Four 2 years ago. And that game is not part of the season ticket package, and we purposely did that so that our fans that don't normally get a chance to see us play at Neville Arena can actually buy good seats for that game. And the proceeds from that game are going to be the Melton Scholars Program, the Together We Will Scholarship for first-generation students, African-American students, kids that maybe didn't think they could afford the unbelievable education at a place like Auburn, to give these young people real scholarships to help them make the Auburn dream possible. So that's on November 1st. And so tickets are available on that contest, and you'll be doing two good things. One, you're going to be seeing some great basketball, but you're going to be supporting a really important scholarship program at Auburn.
Oh, absolutely, and you did a great job of segueing. I was going to lead into that, so you got one of my questions checked off there. So before we let you go, I wanted to get one more thought just on the schedule that you got. When you've got Duke and Houston and Purdue and the likes of teams like this on the schedule, you've got to feel pretty good about your team. But I loved your comments as you were talking, and again, talk about what went into making up a schedule like this.
Well, you know what? I think that our fans deserve it. I think our players, deserve it. And we're trying to, we're trying to keep our program in the top 25 in the country. This is the toughest schedule in the history of Auburn basketball. And like I said, the toughest schedule probably in college basketball. And we're doing so. Again, it's easier to get there than it is to stay there. And part of it is by this, playing as challenging a schedule as we possibly can. It'll certainly, get us ready for the SEC. But it'll also create some adversity, for our team. Adversity will reveal our character. We're going to lose a few games that we might not lose in the non-conference, and how this team handles that will go a long way to what kind of year we have.
Bruce, really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks again, and we'll see you at Toomer's.
All right, my brother. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. War Eagle.
That is Bruce Pearl, Auburn's head basketball coach. You can catch him tonight down there at tip-off at Toomer's. The streets have been closed. They are still wrapping everything up, getting it all set up down there. You got basketball tonight. You got a concert down there tonight. Bill and Dan are going to be live on location at the Graduate Hotel down there next to Skybar. So go and check them out from 4 to 6 today. Lots happening in downtown Auburn. It's going to be a little chilly, though. Be sure you take a jacket, maybe a beanie if you want to. It's that type of weather, that time of year, man. I absolutely love it. And we appreciate Bruce Pearl joining us on ESPN 106.7 here this week. Coming up next, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us. We'll talk about Auburn and Missouri, Auburn basketball as well, and everything you need to know for Saturday's football game and the upcoming basketball season. So stick around. Brad Law joins us next.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and excited to have this guy joining us because he's a busy man and got a lot going on as Auburn heads out to Columbia, Missouri to take on the Tigers there in Como. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us now here on the ESPN 106.7. Brad, great to hear from you, my man. Where are you today? Well, maybe we do, or maybe we don't have Brad.
Hey, we're here.
Oh, well, there he goes. I got him now.
Sorry about it.
Man, okay, we got you now, Brad.
I am deep and in the recesses. No, I'm here. I'm still in Auburn. We won't leave for Columbia until tomorrow.
Okay,
so
okay.
We're still trying to get all of the game week prep done, and then we'll fly out tomorrow.
Okay. Well, safe travels to everybody at the Auburn Sports Network heading out to Columbia as Auburn takes on Missouri. 11 a.m. It's an early morning. Can you get everybody up and moving for an 8 a.m. start Saturday?
First one of the year. First early kick of the year. I know the team prefers that. The coaches prefer that. And we don't mind that. Look, we get up early anyway. We're up and moving anyway that early. So I think Jacob Hillman may be the only one in our group that's not used to being up that early.
Yeah,
so,
he's used to sleeping in.
Yeah, so we'll have to take care of that, but we'll get a bucket of ice water if we need it, and we'll get him going.
Well, we'll get to all the information in terms of the broadcast coming up a little bit later here in our conversation. But everybody's talking about, right, Auburn coming out of the bye week. And what is Auburn going to do? Is anything going to change? Is the game plan different? Is the strategy different? I mean, all of those big what-if questions or what are we going to see, right? So I ask you this, Brad. What does Auburn need to do to make it look a little bit different and then hopefully make the results a little bit different in this back half of the season?
Yeah, that's the hard thing is you know, it's a results-based business, and everybody looks at black and white record. You know, you are what your record says, your Bill Parcells quote, and I understand all of that, and I'm not trying to say that the growth and development is more important than the wins and losses. I'm not saying that. But what I think you can look at objectively when you watch Auburn play is see that, you know, you don't have a broken offense. You don't have a broken defense. You don't have a team that, in other words, you don't have to tear down the entire house to build it back up from the foundation. I think that started a year and a half ago or a season and a half ago. But I think what you have now is fine with some tweaks. I think that Coach Freeze in his Monday presser said flat out Jarquez needs more carries. So during the bye week, did they adjust or simplify the offense or take away some of the checks or autonomy at the line of scrimmage? And, you know, do they plan to use the helmet communication to say flat out this is the play or the read? I don't know, but I think that's probably what, you know, you have Jarquez Hunter, who's fifth in the SEC in yards per game, and he's 20 carries below the guys in front of him in that on that list. So, you know, other teams have identified their top rushing threat and they've gone to them. And I think, you know, I would look for Auburn to do the same thing over the second half of the season.
When it comes to Missouri, the 19th ranked team in the country, 5-1 overall, we know they their poor performance against Texas A&M and then went to UMass a week ago, which everybody was more concerned on why they were making that trip rather than whether they would win or lose. And so during everybody's game prep this week and diving deep on this Missouri team, have you discovered anything that maybe we don't already know about what they could show us on Saturday?
No, they're just balanced. And that's the most dangerous kind of team there is. They're balanced.
They're about 70 more passing yards than rushing yards. They're top five in the SEC in rushing, which means their passing numbers are going to be a little off because of that. Brady Cook is a veteran quarterback who's passed for, I think, almost 8,000 yards in his career. I mean, that's nuts. And they have two really good receivers in Weiss, an Oklahoma transfer, and Burden, who feels like he's been there since about 2008. Between that, two starting offensive linemen have two-plus years of experience as starters for Mizzou. The other three are Power Conference transfers in. So it's a well-put-together offense, and they have some studs on the defensive line. As good as their offense is, their defense leads the SEC in fewest first downs allowed. And if you take away Texas A&M's 20 first downs, they're giving up fewer than 12 a game. So they're just rock solid. They're rock solid on offense. They're rock solid on defense. This is a huge challenge for Auburn Saturday.
But given all of that, I know you've seen this, it seems like bettors in Vegas and across the country have started to really like Auburn. That line continues to drop, Brad, as we get closer to Saturday morning.
Well, which means not necessarily that, you know, that the people who set the lines believe that Auburn is closer. It just means that people who are betting believe in Auburn. That's for sure. I think a lot of people watched Missouri against Vanderbilt, and they watched Vandy take it to double overtime, and they started doubting Mizzou. And then they watched Texas A&M run all over them, and then they started really doubting Mizzou. So, yeah, you're at the point where it's basically a push, and they give Missouri home field advantage. I think it's a fair line. I mean, I think it's a fair judgment not on Missouri but on Auburn, because Auburn is much better than a 2-4 record would indicate. But I think Missouri is the team that is, you know, they had an impressive win over Boston College. They didn't really play a lot of competition their first 2 weeks. They went on the road at UMass last week. That's kind of a throwaway game. I think Missouri's fine. People shouldn't write off Missouri just because of how Texas A&M looked against them.
And I was saying earlier today, you look at that schedule that they've already played, plus what they have coming up, Alabama on the road, and then the back half that I think is very manageable for them. You're right. People wrote them off, but they still have everything to play for, which you would expect them to come out and look that way on Saturday versus what Auburn's playing for, which is itself and itself only.
Well, yeah. I mean, Missouri is absolutely, you know, they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot. Auburn can still finish the season 8-4. I mean, you went out and you're 8-4.
How crazy would that be?
Well, loads of momentum. Loads of momentum. Again, we're not talking about losses where Auburn just had fundamental team breakdowns. We're talking about three of those four losses are about four plays away total from being wins. So, again, this is not a broken down jalopy of a car that you're just trying to drag to the finish line. This team has had some really bad breaks, some that it has created, some that other teams have created, and others that are just, you know, deflected balls and it's the way the ball bounces. But every one of these games is winnable down the stretch. Every one of them is losable, but every one of them is absolutely winnable. So I think there's still lots on the table for Auburn. I'm never going to buy into the ESPN narrative that it's playoff or bust. I can't stand that we do that. We don't do that in the NFL. And now with a 12-team playoff, I just don't believe it's playoff or bust. There's a lot still on the table for this team.
Another rendition of the Tiger Bowl. This time it's Auburn and Missouri, 11 a.m. in Columbia, Missouri on Saturday. Brad, before we get to basketball, go ahead and tell people what they need to know. Plug all the broadcast information for Saturday with you guys on the road.
Yeah, bright and early, 8 o'clock. Is the warm-up show on at 6?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all going 2 hours?
Yeah, wow. They're going to be on at 6 a.m. Not me. Not me. I'm not going to be there.
No, I know. I know not you, but, I mean, T-Bone, those guys, you're going to get them up at 6?
I'm not getting them up. They already know they're supposed to be there, and I will be fast asleep if they have any problems there. They're supposed to call Ben Taylor, so we'll see how that goes.
I understand. Yeah, he's always up at 6. So, all right, well, that's going to start the coverage, and then 8 o'clock, over on Wings 94.3, we go on the air with a Tiger Tailgate show and some pretty cool guests. We're going to have Derek Hall. We're going to have Nosa Egwi on the show. And we're efforting a couple others that we Marlon Davidson is also going to be on the show.
Wow.
So we're going to have a pretty big defensive presence on the show Saturday. So tune in for that starting at 8 o'clock.
Yep, so you guys will be in Columbia, Missouri, the Auburn Sports Network on the air over on Wings 94.3. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with me every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. And do want to talk about basketball because don't know if you've tried to drive downtown, Brad, but you can't because they shut the streets down at midnight last night for what is going to be a really, really cool event. Tip-off at Toomers is back in downtown Auburn. They've got the court down there, a stage going to be up for Cole Swindell. Going to be a little chilly down there tonight, but a really special event for to start the basketball season.
Ain't gonna feel chilly with all those people. There may be 10,000 people downtown tonight, so squeeze in, get the body heat going. You know, I did want to mention this. They did shut the streets down, but downtown businesses are open for business.
Yes.
You may have to park a block or so away, but and I know we're getting close to the event now, but you know, you're here in the area. If you need to go downtown or want to go downtown for something, or maybe even you want to avoid the tip-off at Toomers crowd and grab an early dinner, you can still do that downtown. So take advantage of that, and heck, I just stay and enjoy the party because this is going to be, I think, the wildest, the best rendition of tip-off at Toomers yet. We continue to expand it and figure out new ways to make it fun and memorable and exciting, and love the energy around Auburn basketball and around downtown Auburn, and I love that those two things are marrying once again tonight.
And a lot of fans are fascinated and intrigued to see a lot of the newcomers on this team with transfers and a couple of star-studded freshmen, and just to see some of those returnees on this Auburn men's team, just talent top to bottom all the way through, about 14 or 15 deep, Brad.
Yeah, no, it's one of the most talented rosters in the country. There's a reason that they were picked second, I think, by the media preseason SEC and 11th AP. And I think don't you get the sense that BP and the players are a little ticked off that they were picked 11th nationally?
Seems that way.
There was a day 12 or so years ago that if Auburn were picked 11th out of a 14 team SEC, that would have represented progress. And now they're picked 11th preseason nationally, and folks are a little motivated. They're a little ticked off. And I think that just, you know, one of a million examples you could lay out of where this program is now. It is not building. It is one of those premier teams nationally. And we're very, very close to getting to see it again on display on the court.
Before we let you go, I do want to ask you about the newcomers, whether it be a transfer or it be one of the freshmen that is walking in the door, Ja'Kai Howard, Tahad Pettiford, or again, any of the transfers. Somebody that you think could secretly make a really big impact this season that maybe is flying under the radar a little bit.
Yep, that's a really good question. I think Jaheim Hudson, the forward from SMU, the transfer from SMU, he's 6'7", 230. And I'm telling you, this guy, all right, to give you a comparison, okay, Chris Moore is 6'6", 220, and Hudson looks thicker than that. Like, he's an inch taller and 10 pounds heavier, but he looks even bigger and heavier than that. I think Hudson can be just a rock and a force at a stretch four position for this team. He can be a rebounding machine. He can be a physical presence on the inside. And, you know, there may be games where, you know, he's in the 15-16 minute realm and providing really solid physical play. He's the guy that you may want to walk into the arena on the floor first because of his physical presence.
I love it. I love it. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7. The Auburn basketball season has two exhibitions, October 27th and November 1st. Season opener is on November 6th. And so everybody be sure to keep that in mind. Basketball right around the corner. But before then, you guys will be on the air on Saturday out in Columbia, Missouri. Plug it all one more time, my man. I appreciate you joining us today.
8 a.m. is when our broadcast starts. People will be listening anyway because they'll be listening at 6 for your pre-game, not
That's
your
right.
personal pre-game coverage. But Wings 94.3, they'll have the coverage at 6. We go on the air at 8. We've got Andy Burcham, Jason Campbell, Ronnie Brown, me, Jacob Hillman, all coming to you from Como, And this is a really pivotal game, I think, on the schedule. No better time to turn things around from a win-loss regard than this Saturday.
Safe travels to you and the entire crew out to Columbia, and try to bring back a win, all right?
We'll do our part. We'll do everything we can.
Thanks so much, Brad. Hey, War Eagle.
Hey, you got it. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with me every Thursday, 2:30, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. As I mentioned, Auburn is on the road to Missouri this weekend, and then basketball season right around the corner. Tip-off at Toomer's tonight. If you don't have plans, you should be down there. I know people that have already got the party started in downtown Auburn. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. Reminder, we'll start hour number two with Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. All that coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the first hour here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the airwaves as the boys get ready to head out to Columbia, Missouri. They'll fly out tomorrow, and as you heard him say, they will be on the air at 8 a.m. sharp Saturday morning on Wings 94.3. But before that, I've confirmed, they said they're going to be here. Jumpin' Jack Hutton, Uncle T-Bone, they'll be on the air 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Yes, for game day on Wings 94.3. Rolls right into the Tiger Tailgate Show at 8, and then kickoff is at 11. So that is a part of all of our game coverage on Wings 94.3. Of course, coming up tomorrow on Wings 94.3, you can hear myself and Jack Hutton as well on the Auburn High Sports Network as the Tigers of Auburn High School head down to Carver Montgomery to take on Carver at Crampton Bowl. We'll have all the coverage for you. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the home of Auburn High School football, Wings 94.3, coming up at the start of hour number 2 in about 8 or 10 minutes. We'll have Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. Looking forward to recapping what was a dominant win a week ago against Smith Station on homecoming night, 70-6. Yes, it was pretty crazy to see. Smith Station scored on the second or third play of the game, and Auburn High School blocked the PAT. They responded with a touchdown, and they never looked back. So they dropped 70 points on Smith Station. They look to keep the momentum going and take on Carver on Friday. And if Auburn High School wins, they will secure the region championship here for Auburn in Region 2 going into the final week of the season. So lots at stake coming up tomorrow night. Again, you can catch the entire radio broadcast. We'll be live from Crampton Bowl. Pregame 6:30 and kickoff is at 7. Got a few minutes if you want to hop in here really quick. 334-321-1390. And yes, tip off at Toomer's going on tonight. Free event if you want to show up down there. Again, it is going to be chilly, I think, but as Brad said, should have quite a few folks down there, and going to be a really cool time to see the basketball teams and see all the newcomers and see the same, you know, I guess the returning faces, if you will, Cole Swindell concert. It's going to be really neat down there, and I expect there to be a lot of people. I expect it to be a great turnout. As Brad also said, the businesses are open down there, so go and support your local businesses in downtown Auburn. They will be open, ready to serve you food, alcohol, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm sure they will, but they'll have all sorts of stuff going on down there. And in an event like this, right, you can't really take away anything that you see because they're not going to be doing any scrimmaging or anything like that. It's just going to be some contest and having a little fun and just enjoying the moment, right? Because the last thing, and I mean the last thing you want to see, is somebody get injured in an event like this where it means absolutely nothing, right, except for the fans, or to the fans, rather. And so I'm looking forward to it, excited to see what they do, what they display, kind of the performance that they put on and what they kind of do, and maybe if they have anything secret that they want to do going on tonight. And then there is a concert and all that, so it should be a lot of fun. And And then, yeah, as I mentioned, you got a couple of exhibition games coming up for Auburn. They announced the one against Furman. They announced it this week, but it is coming up in a few weeks. That's October 27th. So 10 days from now, they will be at Furman for a charity exhibition game. Then they return home, their home opener, not the season opener, just the home opener. Another charity exhibition game benefits the AU Melton Scholars Program. You heard BP talk about that a little bit earlier here on the show. They'll be playing FAU on November 1st. That is inside of Neville Arena, trying to see what day of the week. That is a Friday that they will be playing that game. So, and then the season opener for Auburn is on November 6th against Vermont. Isn't that crazy? We're just a couple of weeks away from Auburn basketball getting started in the 2024-2025 season. More to talk about that later on, but coming up, Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us. We'll talk about the win over Smith Station, talk about the Carver game coming up, all those other games going on around the region as well. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he'll join us in hour number two as well to talk about another busy weekend in college football. Stick around, all that coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure that you go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We'll have that posted for you right after the show today. We visited with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We also talked about some college football as Auburn takes on Missouri this weekend. What can the Tigers do, the Auburn Tigers, that is, to try and get a win, the first one in SEC play this season? So all of that was in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we're going to have Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast coming up in just a few, or I guess a little bit, about 30 minutes or so. He'll talk to us about all the games going on in the SEC, and we're about to get to the phone lines. But before we do, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at the orthoclinic.com. Let's get to the phone lines because excited to have this guy back on the show. He's with us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. He is the head coach of Auburn High School football, head coach Keith Etheridge. Coach, great to hear from you, my man. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday.
Doing great, Jacob. How are you, brother?
Doing fantastic, man. Doing fantastic covering the number one team in the state of Alabama as you guys get set to go to Montgomery tomorrow to take on Carver.
Yeah, they got a great football team. It's going to be a great football game. You need to get a win to clinch this region championship. And, our kids have done a really good job to put themselves in a position to, win one of the next two and win the region championship. But we'd love to, go to Montgomery and get this win tomorrow night,
Well,
big game.
Yeah,
really big game.
Yeah, it very much is. And we're going to get to Carver and what they're going to bring tomorrow night. But I do want to rewind a little bit and talk about the win that you guys had over Smith Station a week ago, where the Panthers came in, won the toss, took the football, and three plays later, they were up 6-0, Coach, and it was a huge run that made it happen. You guys blocked the PAT, but everybody's sort of looking around thinking, okay, they came to play, but your team responded very well and walked out of Duck Sanford Stadium with a 70-6 victory.
Yeah, our kids. They showed us something we ain't seen on film, you know, and we, you know, we've been preparing for the triple option all week and, you know, just caught us a little by surprise and, you know, got a couple plays off and we were able to get to the sideline and Coach Goolsby did an amazing job doing, making some adjustments. And I think after that, I don't think they had over 25 yards of offense after that first drive. So our kids have done a great job of responding and, you know, and our coaches have done a really good job this year of making adjustments and finding ways to win football games.
Well, 70 points is nothing to look past there, Coach. One of the most high-scoring games Auburn High School's ever had, and it was in all ways, right? Offensively, special teams, yeah. I mean, running the ball, throwing the ball, and this offense just seems to have so many weapons on the outside. And you and I have talked about this year about the development of Peyton Plott and Josh Askew and just so many different players on that side of the football. And I don't know what a defense is supposed to do, Coach. There's too many of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Kilgore, Omar Mapson, Tony Cash, you know, all those guys have been amazing. Ryan Birchfield, Mark Basil, you know, all those guys have been great this year. And, you know, and it takes that. If you're going to be undefeated to this point in this region, you better have a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. You better be good on defense and, you know, all those things, you know. It takes those things to be successful in this region. And, you know, there's some great football teams in this region. I think our guys are playing great right now. They're playing hard. They get after it week in, week out, and just super proud of this group of guys.
Is there anything, and it's hard to find something in an undefeated team that you're outscoring opponents a lot to a little right now, is there anything that you guys aren't doing that you think could be doing better or something that you may have to change going into the final few games?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, you can always pop the film on and find some things that you need to work on, you know, and it does. You get to a point, you know, when you're undefeated and you're playing real well, you know, you don't want to nitpick and you don't want to sound like a broken record, but we still, you know, we still get some holding penalties. We still are, you know, having some bust in some blocking schemes and still, you know, missing some tackles and all those little things that kind of can drive you crazy as a coach. You're never going to be perfect, you know? But what we tell our kids all the time, you're never going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes, but let's do it 100 miles an hour, and let's set our expectations to try to be perfect. And then if we fall short, you know, we make adjustments and we try to get there. You know, we want to be the best football team we can be at the end of the year. And like I've said this 1,000 times, you know, I don't care where we're ranked during the year, as long as at the end of the year we're ranked number one.
Auburn High School heading to Carver-Montgomery tomorrow. They'll take them on at the Crampton Bowl. You can catch the entire radio broadcast with me and Jack Cudden. No Rob Pate this week. He'll be back next week, but you can catch all of that on the Auburn High Sports Network. Wings 94.3, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 tomorrow night. And, Coach, before we talk about Carver, Omar Mapson's got a record to break. Is it going to happen tomorrow, or is it going to have to wait until Dothan next week?
Man, I hope it happens tomorrow. That'd be great. That'd be great if it happened tomorrow. He's going to break that record eventually. You know, Omar's a fantastic player, you know, just a quality young man, you know. He does things the right way, and he's going to get that record. And he's one of those kids, he don't look at records. He could care less. He's worried about those wins in the win column, and that's what he's worried about. He's an unselfish kid. He's one of those kids. I mean, I think he's averaging right over 7 yards a carry, and, you know, right at 1,000 yards, you know, close to 1,000 yards right now as far as rushing, and he's got over 1,000 as far as his rushing and receiving. So, you know, he's one of those kids. He's got 20 plus touchdowns right now as far as rushing and receiving. So he's just a quality young man. He's going to break that record. It's just a matter, you know, of when he's going to do it. I would love for him to break it tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's creeping in on the single-season rushing touchdown record for Auburn High School. Has a chance to break it tomorrow. But if there is a bright side to that, if he doesn't get it, he could do it at home against Dothan at Duck Sanford Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And like I said, we would love for him to get it. You know, I mean, he's going to get his chance tomorrow night. Definitely. But, you know, we're not worried about the record. That's going to happen. We're just worried about, you know, winning football games. And that's all that Omar's worried about, too. He's worried about being a great teammate and winning football games and, you know, just doing whatever it takes to help the Auburn Tigers win. You know, and that's what kind of young man he is.
Well, we always ask you and want to get your thoughts on Carver this week. What can you tell our listeners, the fans that are going to be tuning in, or even the ones that will make the trip down there tomorrow night? What can they expect to see from a Carver team that's had an up-and-down season to this point, but it's still extremely dangerous?
Yeah, they're amazingly athletic. You know, one of the most talented teams we've played against. You know, Coach Carr's done an amazing job over there. They jumped up to 7A with the combination of them and Carver and who else combined with them? Sydney Lanier. They combined schools, so jumped up to 7A, and it's, you know, that's a good little jump. And they were ranked there right now. I don't know if they're ranked in the top 10 still. They've dropped the last two games, but they were really close games. You know, had Central on the ropes last week, lost 17-14 to Enterprise, and those are two really good teams. So they're definitely a top 10 team. They're definitely one of those teams that you look at and you're like, whoa, all the weapons they have on offense. And people talk about their offense, but their defense is really good too. So, you know, they're a great football team. You know, very athletic, coach well. You know, they get to the football on defense, and on offense they have tons of weapons to get it to. So we just got to make sure that we play Auburn football.
Top 10 teams in the state of Alabama, the ones that are affecting you and Auburn High School, the Tigers, of course, you guys are number one. Central Phoenix City is number two. You have Opelika in the top 10 now, Coach. They're at number eight. Carver Montgomery is at that ninth spot, so still a top 10 team. And teams that are receiving votes, Enterprise and Vestavia Hills, two teams that you guys have seen as well. So there are no strangers inside that top 10 with some big matchups going on again tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, you look at those top tens and the people who've gotten some votes for that. And I think we played four or five of those teams. So, and for us to be sitting here undefeated right now is just a testament to the type of kids we had, have. And, you know, we still got two teams left on the schedule. We got Carver, like I said, top 10 team, really dangerous. And then we got Dothan next week, who's a really good football team, is one of the, you know, one of the best coached football teams in the state. You know, Jed Kennedy does a really good job with those guys down there, and you know, they bring that single wing offense, which is really tough to stop. You know, they've had one score games with like four or five of these teams in the region. You know, so it's a tough region. This region's brutal.
Tigers on the road tomorrow, taking on Carver Montgomery at the Crampton Bowl. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 with us on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3. Head coach Keith Etheridge is with me every Thursday, 3 o'clock here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we're always appreciative of your time, man. I look forward to this and all of our conversations each and every week. Safe travels to you and the guys down there, Carver, tomorrow night, and good luck. Bring home a win and go Tigers.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate everything you do, and go Tigers.
There you go. Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. I love that guy. He is one of the nicest, most energetic, fun dudes you're ever going to be around. And the man you hear on the radio, see on the sidelines, or just see in the grocery store, that's who he is all the time, man. He is a fun dude to be around, and we're always appreciative of his time. And I have a pleasure of talking with him so many times throughout the week, whether it's here on the radio or whether it is at his office and doing some social media things and pregame interviews. I mean, just all the things that he allows me to be a part of there with Auburn High School football. This is a special group, man, a very, very special group, and they head down to Carver Montgomery tomorrow, taking on Carver in Crampton Bowl for a chance to become region champions. And with that comes the number one seed when you get to the playoffs, right out of Region 2, which we all know that's going to set you up for the easiest path. It won't be easy because 7A football is not, but gives you a chance to get the easiest path, I guess, to the championship is the best way to say that. So we appreciate Coach Etheridge joining us here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. A reminder that Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he will be joining us coming up in about 20 minutes or so. He joins us after the 3:30 break at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to him about all of the games going on around the SEC. Quick reactions from a week ago, plus what we could see going into this weekend or what we could possibly be talking about come Monday. I mean, are we going to have coaches fired? Are we going to have seasons ended in terms of playoffs, right? I mean, so many storylines around the Southeastern Conference. We'll have Chris Gordy join us coming up in just a little bit, but one more segment before we do and a chance for you to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. 334-321-1390. Give me a call. We'd love to hear from you on this Thursday afternoon. You can also shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. We'll take our first break here in hour number two.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You and me in the studio as we are going to have Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC join us on the phone lines coming up after our bottom of the hour break, and going to be talking about all of these games across the SEC from a week ago. We'll get quick reactions. I know it's Thursday. We're trying to move on from those games, and so we'll get a quick reaction from him on that, and then we will get into the games coming up this week around the SEC. And before we dive into those games that are outside of the SEC that I think could be fascinating this weekend, how about Oklahoma State and BYU coming up tomorrow night? We have a couple of college football games on Friday night. Seems to be a growing trend, does it not? Seems like we have more games on. Hey, man, look at this week in particular. You had games on Tuesday, Wednesday, got games going on tonight, games going on tomorrow. I mean, unbelievable, man. It's crazy to see all the college. By no means am I complaining. I'm not complaining now. No, we love football around here. But you have Oklahoma State and BYU coming up tomorrow. That is a late game, 9:15 on ESPN. Wow, how about that? Games, again, outside of the SEC that I think could be fascinating this weekend in college football. I'm looking at Miami. All right, I'm looking at Miami, the sixth-ranked team in the country, a team that a lot of people would argue should have two losses already this season. They are 6-0, and they're 2-0 in the ACC. But there are people that think they should have lost to Virginia Tech, and they should have lost to Cal, but they didn't. And outside of that, their schedule is just not that difficult. They've yet to play a ranked team on this schedule, and there's a really good chance that that will be the case from the start all the way to the finish. And so my question about Miami is just how good are they? Because it took a questionable game-winning touchdown against Virginia Tech, and it also took some questionable calls in the California game for them to get both of those. And California blew that, but we don't have to talk about that. They are not going to play a ranked team all year. Now, to their credit, I guess, Florida is terrible. Louisville was ranked. Florida State, supposed to be good, but they're terrible. Wake Forest, okay. Syracuse, okay. Georgia Tech, okay. Like, Miami will go the entire season and not play a top 25 team. So how are we able to judge them when they play in the ACC with a schedule like that? How are you supposed to judge them? Here's what I'll say. You don't deserve a loss, or you don't have the wiggle room to lose a game if you're Miami. I think with that schedule, you have to go undefeated. That's just the way I see it. They've got Louisville, who started hot, but they've since kind of chilled out a little bit here in the last couple of games. I look at Nebraska and Indiana, two teams in the Big Ten that are just quietly doing what they're supposed to do. Nebraska's 5-1. This is the big noon kickoff on Fox coming up on Saturday. Nebraska, after dropping a heartbreaker against Illinois, they've since turned around, beat Purdue, and beat Rutgers. They also have a win over Colorado on that schedule. And so they get a chance to walk into Bloomington and take on a top 20-ranked Indiana team who's undefeated in college football. How about that? Indiana undefeated in the 2024 season. And that Hoosiers team favored by almost a touchdown against Nebraska. So keep an eye out on that one coming up this weekend. A sneaky good one out of what is somewhat the ACC in Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, 2:30 ESPN. The 12th-ranked Fighting Irish of Notre Dame take on Georgia Tech. Take on Georgia Tech on Saturday afternoon. And remember, that's a Notre Dame team that has a questionable loss, but has a really, really good win. That win over Texas A&M continues to look better all the way back from week one, but that loss against Northern Illinois is just putrid to me. I say the same thing for Notre Dame. You cannot afford another loss. I don't think you should afford any loss, especially to Northern Illinois, but somehow they're still hanging around in the top 15. But they have two top 25 games on their schedule remaining. Can anybody name those games without looking it up? Can you name the two teams on Notre Dame's remaining schedule that are ranked inside the top 25? I think Christian mentioned this on the show on Tuesday, possibly on Monday. Number 25, Navy, and number 23, Army. How about that? How about a top 25 game with Navy and Army are the only two ranked teams remaining on Notre Dame's schedule. They get Georgia Tech this weekend. I think they should be out anyway, but if they lose this weekend or any other weekend for Notre Dame, I think they eliminate themselves from the college football playoff. You cannot pay me to watch Michigan and Illinois, 2:30 on CBS. That will be one of the most disgusting games that college football has ever put out in the history of the world this weekend. It will be terrible. Michigan is not a top 25 team. I think Illinois still is, but not by much. All right, not by much on that one. Other games around college football that are not in the SEC that could be interesting. Mentioned Kansas State, West Virginia the other day. Mentioned SMU and Stanford the other day as well. But the games in the Southeastern Conference, and again, we're going to talk about all of these with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes after the bottom of the hour break. South Carolina, Oklahoma. Nobody's talked about this game all that much because South Carolina is the team that could have been, the team that possibly should have been, but they're not. Oklahoma, a team that is coming off of a beatdown versus Texas. Just don't think many people are going to tune into this game. 11:45 on the SEC Network. Is anybody really going to go out of their way to find this game? I'm not. I'm not going to do it, and I don't think many of you are going to do it either. The game, probably the second best game of the day, 2:30, not on CBS, on ABC. Alabama, the 7th-ranked team in the country, number 11, Tennessee, in Knox, Vegas. That's right, in Knoxville. They'll be taking them on there in Neyland Stadium. The Tide, favored by 3 right now. Does that sound right? Does that seem right to you? Alabama, after what we saw a week ago, and Tennessee, after we saw a week ago. Remember, I discovered this on the air the other day, that these are the same team, man. They're the same exact team in the same exact situation. Winners alive and losers out of the college football playoff. Texas A&M has a chance to continue their hot streak of play. They carry a 17-point favorite into Starkville, taking on Mississippi State. How about LSU and Arkansas Saturday night, where they'll be calling the hog at Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville, Arkansas? LSU a slight favorite, but still has everything to play for, man. LSU, with their win a week ago against Ole Miss, can they keep their playoff hopes alive when they go and take on what's been a relatively nasty Arkansas team? Vanderbilt, hopefully for them, going to get their 5th win of the season. They have Ball State. Okay, good for you. And then, two games at night, Kentucky and Florida. Could be the best game of the weekend. Maybe. Could be. Maybe it couldn't be. This may be ugly. This one may be just as bad as Michigan and Illinois. You may have people in Big Ten country on Sports Talk Radio this afternoon saying, who in the world's going to watch Kentucky and Florida on the SEC Network at 6:45? I'll find it. I'll have it on a third monitor somewhere. I'll at least pull it up. You got two teams that are both 3-3 overall, and yet it's a 1.5-point spread for the road team in Gainesville, where it feels like Billy Napier could be coaching day by day, and no Graham Mertz for Florida. Remember, he's out. He's out for the year. It's Lagway's team now. Can he save the Gators? Can he save Billy Napier? It starts with the Wildcats on Saturday night there inside of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. And the game of the year, I don't know, game of the week anyway. Georgia and Texas could be game of the year depending on how it plays out. Number five dogs on the road taking on the number one team in the land, the Texas Longhorns. And Jordan Hill told us this on Wednesday yesterday. Georgia is an underdog for the first time since 2021. It's 50 games since they've been an underdog. It was the season opener against Clemson where they were 3 or 4 point dogs and they came out and won the thing outright. I still think Georgia's a good team. I really do. I still think they are a good team. Are they as dominant as we've seen in the past? No, they're not. But they're still a good team. They're still a good team. They're still dangerous. And they still have a lot to play for. But here's what's crazy. Is since they did lose to Alabama, remember how tough that schedule is for the Dogs? Remember how tough it was when we looked at it preseason? They now have already played number 4 Alabama, number 14 Clemson. That win looks better and better each week. They play number 1 Texas, number 18 Illinois, and number 11 Tennessee. In what world does a 2-loss Georgia not get into the college football playoff? Because I don't care what anybody says. I'm not writing off Georgia after they lose to Texas this weekend if that's what happens. I don't think that's fair. 2 losses to top 4 teams on the road, especially if it's close against Texas, and then Georgia wins out? I'm not writing them off. I'm not counting them out. I'm not saying they're not a playoff team because I think they would beat the majority of teams that went up against them head-to-head. So that one's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, Auburn and Missouri. I'm sure Chris Gordy has great things to say about Auburn. We'll find out exactly how he feels and what he thinks coming up next here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we get to the phone lines again as we welcome in Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Chris, welcome into the show, man. Always great to talk to you, and can't say anything bad about how Auburn played last weekend because, they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. A much needed bye week, a week to kind of reset themselves, and we'll see what they look like this week.
Well, there's so many games to get to in college football, especially in the Southeastern Conference. And with it being Thursday, we always try to get into what's happening this weekend. So just a quick reaction from you from what happened a week ago around the SEC, just some crazy results. And it seems to be trumped every single weekend by just great results time and time again.
Well, I think what ultimately, you know, I said this last week, that I think there's more parity in the league right now than we've ever had. And I think I even said last week, you know, outside of Mississippi State, 1 through 15, anybody can beat anybody. And then, you know, Mississippi State goes and, you know, covers the spread at Georgia and scores 31 points with the true freshman quarterback, Michael Van Buren. And I'm going, wait a minute, if he keeps playing like this, Mississippi State's going to upset, you know, they're going to upset somebody. And you know, this thing will really be a true parity league from top to bottom. So, if I had to bet on it, I would bet Mississippi State's going to beat somebody in the SEC before the season's over. And, you know, I got to think Texas is going to take a loss somewhere along the way. And both those things could happen this weekend. So I think you're seeing Vegas react to it too, Jacob. If you look, you know, that there's 7 SEC games this weekend, SEC versus SEC, and 6 of the 7 games have a spread less than a touchdown. I mean, that's I had somebody text me earlier in the week and said, what is this, the NFL? Like, the NFL has games where everybody's, you know, -2.5, -5, -4.5. You know, normally in the SEC, it's, you know, -21, -15.5. Like, you have big spreads. And this week, A&M and Mississippi State is the only spread like that. Everybody else is favored only by less than a touchdown.
Did we get any clarification on teams that are legit, teams that are not? I mean, Texas rolling over Oklahoma, Tennessee struggling with Florida, Bama struggling with South Carolina, LSU seemingly ending Ole Miss's playoff hopes. I mean, did we learn anything about teams maybe from a week to week here last week, Chris?
Well, I think we learned, LSU is still going to have a say in all this. Now, they can't afford to go and trip up against Arkansas this weekend. I had somebody ask me, why is LSU only a 2.5 favorite at Arkansas? I said, well, look at the last three matchups. The last three times LSU and Arkansas has played, the game's only been decided by 3 points. So, LSU sitting as a 2.5 point favorite, they're telling you, we think LSU's still only, going to win by a field goal. So, I think we found that. I think we're continuing to find Bama is not dominant Bama by any means. Again, they were favored by, minus 21 against South Carolina and to only win by two, and they had to hold on for their dear lives as, South Carolina misses the two-point conversion and then kicks an onside kick and gets it. I'm going, oh, my God. Like, if they had managed the clock better there, I think they would have had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal final seconds. And do you imagine the reaction of Kalen DeBoer and Bama if that happens? You talk about back-to-back losses to Vanderbilt in South Carolina, I think it would have been nuts. But even still, just because they won the game, it doesn't solve all their problems. So I think Bama fans are starting to realize, like, look, you're a good team. You're not a great team. Now, good teams can still go 10-2, 11-1. Good teams can still make the playoff because look around the college football world. There's nobody that's just absolutely dominating and taking names right now. So, Bama can be good and still make the playoff, but again, those dominant runs of the Nick Saban teams that just crush everybody, that those days are gone.
Let's look at the games coming up this weekend. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us here on ESPN 106.7. We'll start with the slower games and work our way up to the bigger game. South Carolina, Oklahoma, just one that nobody's talking about. 11:45 a.m. here Central Time on the SEC Network. Oklahoma 4-2, South Carolina 3-3. I mean, is anybody going to watch this game?
Well, I'll say this. South Carolina has played very well. They should have beaten LSU. They had a chance to beat Alabama this past week. They beat the snot out of Kentucky. And really, their only blemish on the season is that game 2 weeks ago where they couldn't score at all against Ole Miss. But, for them to do what they did this past weekend, Lenore Sellers had one of his best games, and he did it against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I expect him to bounce back and look good. The big question for Oklahoma is, wherefore art thou offense? I mean, they made the quarterback switch from Jackson Arnold to Michael Hawkins, but that was a big fat dud last week against Texas. They scored a field goal, on the opening drive, and then didn't score again the rest of the game. I mean, I think Texas' defense is good, but they're not that good. So Oklahoma, they're in big trouble here, and I think this thing starts to spiral for them. I think South Carolina needs this win in a bad way. Because I think they're a better team than what their record says they are, and I would expect plenty of Rocket Sanders, plenty of Lenore Sellers. I think South Carolina wins.
I'm not going to make you talk too much about Vanderbilt and Ball State as the Commodores looking for their fifth win to double their preseason win total here, Chris.
Yeah, they'll win. They'll win easily, and that's the story of this. People only had Vandy at 2-3 wins, so it's pretty phenomenal what Clark Lee's done.
Kentucky and Florida, late night game, SEC Network. I'll loop that in with Texas A&M and Mississippi State. You've got A&M favored by 17 and the Cats 1.5 over the Gators with a new quarterback as Mertz out for the year.
Yeah, I still can't believe wrong team favored. Like I think Florida should be the favorite against Kentucky. They're a better team right now. DJ Lagway is a 5-star. He's going to make his freshman mistakes. But he's also going to have some dazzling plays that you look back on and go, wow, this kid's a freak. He's going to be incredible 2 years from now. So I like Florida to take care of business against Kentucky. Remember, they went like 31 years without losing to them before they lost a couple in recent years. And then the other one, I'm putting the Aggies on upset alert.
Wow.
They better be careful because, look, Mississippi State, I was so impressed with the offensive game plan last week. That's Georgia, keep in mind. That was Georgia in Athens. When's the last time Georgia gave up 31 points to an unranked opponent in Athens? So I like Michael Van Buren. I'm buying what him and Jeff Levy are building together now that he's taken over the quarterback job since Blake Shapen got hurt. And I think the Aggies are a little bit too – we're everybody's singing their praises a little bit too much. I mean, they're talking about A&M running the table, making the playoff and all this, and I'm going, guys, it's year one of Mike Elko. Le'Veon Moss has been great. The run game's been very good. The defense is suspect at times. Connor Wegman got back. He looked great in the beatdown of Mizzou, but I think everybody's just a little too high on them right now. Would not shock me if Mississippi State pulls off the upset. They're talking about selling out Davis Wade, being loud, everybody bringing their cowbells. Would not shock me if they...
Well, man, imagine how Texas A&M fans would be acting if they had beaten Notre Dame week one. I mean, they would be they'd be borderline obnoxious.
Well, but on the flip side too, I mean, Arkansas, if they make a play late, they win that game against A&M. So, you know, to me though, A&M, nobody, this isn't supposed to be an 11-1, 10-2 A&M team. The regression to the mean should be happening, and I think 8-4 would be a great year one for Mike Elko. But that's, I think they're more an 8-4 team than they are an 11-1 team.
All right, we'll see how it goes. A&M and Mississippi State, 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. Kentucky, Florida, 6:45 tomorrow night. Both of those on the SEC Network. Let's go ahead and get LSU out of the way, Chris. Are they on upset alert as they head to Fayetteville, where they're a slim favorite by 1.5 over Arkansas?
Yeah, well, first off, the games are being played on Friday, Jacob, or Saturday. Tomorrow's Friday.
My bad.
The LSU Arkansas game is interesting. Like I said, it's been a close one, you know, in recent history. I just look at the way Garrett Nussmeier's playing right now, man. He's making winning plays, winning throws. He's so in sync with his wide receivers. Ole Miss, somebody brought this up to me. Ole Miss came into that game last weekend leading the country in sacks. LSU is one of the least sacked teams in the country. They did not allow a sack to that vaunted defense. Mm. What A&M did was they dropped extra guys in the coverage. And so that's why Nussmeier was not completing a lot of passes throughout the game. He was, you know, he was under 50% completion percentage because they were putting more DBs back there. But when his team absolutely needed it, he made the big clutch throws in that fourth quarter and then in overtime with the game winner. Man, they can't run the football to save their lives. I hope LSU goes in this game and says, we're going to throw it and throw it a ton. Miles Slusher's expected to be out for Arkansas again. So I think LSU attacks through the air. If LSU gets stupid, though, and Brian Kelly goes, no, we have to establish the run, and they run into a wall, and Landon Jackson and Arkansas are shutting it down, I think we look up and go, why is LSU only got 10 points at halftime? Why is LSU only up 14-10 in the third quarter? Like, something like that will happen where we're like, why is this so close? I think it's because LSU gets stupid. Be who you are. Your identity is throw the ball around a ton and be a pass-happy offense. I think that's what LSU is. They need to embrace that and stop trying to run the football.
What's fascinating is the fact that LSU lost to USC week one, who has become a mediocre 500 football team, and they still have everything in front of them with Arkansas, A&M, and Alabama. If they can take care of business in these games, Chris, I mean, we're talking LSU as a college football playoff type of team.
Yeah, no doubt. And honestly, again, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but I was at that game, and going to the fourth quarter, LSU had all the momentum, and they got stupid, and they didn't finish, and they lost to USC, but, you know, they were that close to being undefeated too. So, yeah, I don't think this is a world-beater LSU team, but that offense and the way Nussmeier is playing this year, would love to see them punch their ticket to the playoff, but they got to beat Arkansas this week. They still got to, you know, they got to play Alabama. They got to go to A&M next week. There's some pitfalls for them, no doubt. And I was just talking to a buddy of mine who's a big Alabama fan. I said, can you imagine if Bama loses to Tennessee and LSU loses either Arkansas or A&M? We're talking about LSU-Bama being two-loss teams and that being basically an elimination game of the playoff. Like, the loser knows they're out and the winner knows their playoff hopes are still alive. So it's just kind of funny because normally you would never think of the LSU-Bama game, both teams having two losses at that point, but that's probably what's going to transpire.
Yeah, I wonder what the stat is on that. When's the last time those two teams played where they had two or more losses?
Oh, it's got, I mean, I'll have to look that up.
It'd be forever. Yeah. I mean,
it has to have been a while. I mean, LSU has had two losses at times in that game, but yeah, how many times has Bama had two losses at the start of November? You know, it's been a while.
Well, they could have two losses when they head to Knoxville and take on Tennessee, the seventh-ranked team in the country, Alabama, taking on 11 Tennessee. And I said, Chris, these two teams are the exact same. They have a loss they shouldn't have. They looked terrible a week ago, and they're playing for their playoff lives, and Bama favored by 3 in Knoxville Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the only difference is I think, if I'm picking an offense, I like Bama's offense better than what Tennessee's been doing lately. And then the flip side, I like Tennessee's defense to make big plays and get off the field as opposed to Alabama. So Yeah, I give the slight edge to both of those. But, I don't know who the hell to take in this game. Most of this week I've been feeling like, you know what, I trust Milroe. He's the veteran quarterback. Nico Iamaliava is the redshirt freshman. He's the one who's made the mistakes, and the offense hasn't been humming the last couple weeks. So I've been leaning Bama all week, but then I keep going back to it's a home game in Knoxville. Like, that place is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. I think they get it done. If Dylan Sampson, we're going to know very early, if Dylan Sampson is breaking off runs and he's gutting Alabama for 5-6 yards a carry, I'll feel really good about picking Tennessee. But if not, if that Bama defense is making stops and Milroe's leading them on touchdown drives and nobody's covered Ryan Williams down the field, yeah, I think Bama wins this and going away. So it's fascinating, though. Two teams that have not lived up to expectations thus far, but the winner of this game will absolutely be back on track and in business to make the playoff.
I'm taking Tennessee with the points. They're giving me 3 points with Tennessee at home on the third Saturday in October. I love it. I absolutely love what Tennessee could do.
But look at what that offense has done since they got into SEC play,
yeah,
man. It's been a rough go.
But Bama's defense is terrible, especially the secondary.
Yep.
So I'm taking Tennessee. I don't know. I'm taking the Vols. I think they get it done. I don't care who wins. I would rather Tennessee win, but it doesn't really affect my life or the Auburn fans' lives. And so the second biggest game in the SEC this weekend, number 5, Georgia, number 1, Texas, the number 1 team in the country, favored by 5 points at home. What a huge matchup this is, Chris. Can Georgia bounce back and get back on track here, or is Texas just really the number 1 team in the land?
Well, I've been saying the Grim Reaper is coming for Texas. Let me ask you this, Jacob, just looking at it, what's Texas's best win of the season?
Texas for this year, their best win, it's got to be, unfortunately, statistically, the Michigan game.
Yep, and do you know what Michigan is ranked offensively in the country right now?
I don't, but I know it's bad.
They are 119th.
Oh,
thus, when people say that's their best win, well, congrats. You beat 109th offensively ranked Michigan. The point stands. Texas is great. They're undefeated. You've passed the test. You can only play who's in front of you. But my God, we all said that, and I did them a favor with the schedule, right? Where it was like, oh, they got the easy side of the schedule. You know, no Tennessee, no LSU, no Alabama, no Ole Miss. I mean, they lucked out. I think it's the other way. I think the SEC did them a disservice because they're sitting there all fat and happy thinking that they're a world beater when they're about to start to get tested playing real SEC teams. I mean, they've played two SEC teams so far, Mississippi State at home and then the Oklahoma game, who they play every year anyway. They have not faced the grind of the SEC yet. And, yes, it's a bit of favorable – it's a favorable schedule on paper for them, but – I think this is where it starts to unwind. And to me, Kirby Smart and Georgia, they cannot afford another loss here. I think this is hands down going to be the best offense or best quarterback that Texas has seen all season. And how healthy is Quinn Ewers? You know, we keep hearing Isaiah Bond has been banged up.
Right.
He should be a go for Saturday, but Ewers didn't look great in his first game back against OU last week. So there's so many parts of this that scream, take Georgia. Carson Beck just threw for what, a career high 450 yards last week against Mississippi State. He has had some picks, but I think Quinn Ewers is going to throw a pick or two. So I got Georgia going into Austin and winning in a hostile environment just simply because they cannot afford a second loss this early in the season.
Wow. Georgia on the road to take down Texas in the second biggest game of the weekend because Auburn is in Como taking on Missouri at 11 a.m. on Saturday, Chris. Can Auburn turn the corner? Can they make it happen and get their – God, this is depressing – their first SEC win of the season?
Yeah, I've already reached out to my bosses and asked them to pay me extra this week for having to watch that. it's a good – I think Missouri is kind of that team. Like, we kept saying before the season, like, what are they this year? Are they going to repeat and be a double-digit win team like they were a year ago? We kept saying the schedule was favorable, but, are you a real deal or are you frauds? And I had somebody tell me last week they're absolute frauds. And so if Mizzou are frauds, then this is a game Arkansas has got to go take care of the football, run the football. I mean, if we look up and Jarquez Hunter doesn't have at least 20 carries, I would be pissed. But run the football.
Me too.
Take care of the football. Protected Peyton Thorne. Don't put it in danger. Defense, do your job. Cover. I think Auburn has a chance to win this one. But To me, this is where the spiral could start for Mizzou. You didn't just lose at A&M, you got embarrassed. I mean, that was the ugliest performance of the year. Brady Cook did not look good. You know, then you go play UMass last week. That was, you know, whatever. I think this is a spot for Auburn. It's almost a must-win for Hugh Freeze. Like, dude, you lose this one, this thing really starts to go off the rails. So however you do it, it can be an ugly win, a pretty win. Auburn has to win this weekend.
Chris Gordy, one of us, man. He understands what it takes. He understands the pain that you're going through, Auburn fans. He is one of you for the most part. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Plug it all, my man. We appreciate your time as always. Tell people where they can find you, what you got coming up.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcast. We got a great interview up tomorrow. We just taped with Todd Gurley, the former Georgia running back, getting his thoughts on the Georgia-Texas game. Also have Craig Way, the voice of the Texas Longhorns, on talking the Texas perspective. So I'll have that up there for you on Locked On SEC.
Chris, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll have you on again next week.
All right, thanks, man. And get ready for that big basketball game here in Houston in a couple weeks.
Dude, so looking forward to it. I'm still trying to get my bosses to let me go. I haven't been able to pull that off yet.
Come on, let's go.
I'm telling you, I'll make it happen, man. Thanks so much, Chris. That is Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out on YouTube or wherever you get your audio podcast. Got to take a break. Blue way past it. Breaking news in the college basketball world. We'll have that coming up next.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And as we were talking to Chris Gordy, I know we just have a couple of minutes here, but breaking news in the college basketball world. Jeff Goodman reports Virginia's head basketball coach Tony Bennett retiring, effective immediately. Tony Bennett, the national championship basketball coach at Virginia. Of course, Auburn fans know him very well. Retiring immediately. Effective immediately, he'll announce his decision, or I guess why he'll announce this at a press conference tomorrow. What in the world? There's no explanation here. There's nothing. I'm on social media right now, and there is nothing in terms of news other than he's retiring. And something's wrong here. National championship winning coaches 20 days before the season don't just up and retire effective immediately. Something's up. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a rules thing. I don't know if it is. I don't know what it is. Sounds like medical, but I don't know. Really weird timing here. Hope everything's okay. I think that's what we all need to be thinking about, is hopefully everything's okay there. But Tony Bennett, Virginia's basketball coach, retiring effective immediately. We may have some more news on that throughout tonight or tomorrow when he takes the stand. We'll have that for you and a whole lot more on the Friday edition of On the Line. Thanks to all of our guests today. Brad Law, Coach Etheridge, Chris Gordy, they were all fantastic, man, and I appreciate you all spending your time with me on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan coming up for the drive. They're at the Graduate downtown Auburn, so stick around. They'll have you for the next 2 hours, and I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.